wonderful song. And I heard Miss Holly say, "Man, that's fast," and she does play. She does play fast. Yeah, she plays faster than Miss Evelyn does. So we're used to, and that's. So you got to catch your breath quick, and it's good breathing exercises, I guess, for us. So if you have your Bibles this morning, you turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 19 through 25 this morning. We're on 9 o'clock. The last several Sunday mornings, we've been looking at images of discipleship and what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And we looked at several different images or picture things that helped us to know what it was to be a follower of Christ. We'll give a pop quiz. Who remembers what the first one was? Give you a clue. The Bible. All right, it was the Bible, and then it was prayer, and then last week we talked about surrender, the white flag of surrender. This week we're going to talk about the steeple, and so we think about what it means to be a Christian and a follower of Christ. The church certainly has a part to play in that. And oftentimes we don't think of church and our involvement in it as discipleship, but in reality it is. I hope you'll see that by the time we get done this morning. When I was little, I remember, I don't remember if it was my aunt, Jan, maybe grandma, I don't remember who taught it to me, it was somebody. You remember, maybe you learned it too, here's the church. Here's the steeple, look inside and see the people. And so that stuck with me through all these years. And so the steeple certainly, you know, we understand that the church is not these four walls. It's not a building, but it's, you know, the people that make up the church. That's how you do it, Miss Kay. Yeah. I had a little backwards. Yeah, we're all sitting here practicing. How does it go? Yeah, it has been a long time since we've done that. But but our church attendance is so important. And it says a lot about our walk with Christ. And we'll see this morning as we look at Hebrews chapter 10, that the New Testament tells us, Christ, by the way, thought church was mighty important. He died for it. Paul says that the church is Christ's body. And we're ahead of it. Now, at the outset, I want to tell you this, that you can be saved without being a member of a local church, but you cannot be the Christian that God intends for you to be without being a member of a local church. So our salvation is dependent upon our trust and faith in Jesus Christ. But scriptures, particularly the one we're going to look at in just a minute, tells us that if you are saved, then you will naturally want to be about the things that God is about. And one of the things God is concerned about and thinks is important is His people. And His people particularly gathering together on a regular basis. And so let's take a look at the text this morning, Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 19. It says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us, through the veil, that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed pure with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I don't know about you, but that day approaching, it's a whole lot closer than it was a year ago, or 2 years ago, or 10 years ago. Now, preachers have been saying for 2,000 years now that Jesus is coming back again. But I can assure you that it's closer today than it was yesterday. And as we see things going on in the world, and as we see the church becoming increasingly under attack, and Christians around the world increasingly being persecuted, and we see the increase of natural disasters and wars, Jesus said all these things would be signs that the end was coming near. And we certainly have seen a lot of those things in the last several days and months around our world. And so the writer of Hebrews tells us, listen, especially as you see the days approach, it is even more important for you to gather together with God's people. The word church comes from a Greek word that means gathered together, called out ones. The very nature of the church is those that have been called out of this world and called together by Christ. And so I want us to see something and hear me this morning. The first thing is this: part of being in Christ is being in His body, the church. In Christ is where our salvation lies. Hear me, and I may sound like a broken record. You are not saved, and your salvation is not secured. It's not improved. It's not. You don't get a special gold sticker for going to church and being a part of a church. We can't earn salvation. It is simply a gift that God gives to us by putting our faith and trust in the atoning work of Jesus Christ. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about here in these verses. He said, listen, we have a high priest that himself became the sacrifice for us. And it's his blood that pays my sin debt and your sin debt and the sin debt of all the whosoever would believes. Jesus paid the sin debt for everyone. Peter reminds us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Well, that means that Jesus' blood was sufficient for everyone's sin. But that sin payment that Jesus gave is applied to our life by faith. But once it's been applied, we are no longer our own. Paul said it this way: you are no longer of this world. Paul and Peter talk a lot about us being travelers or sojourners in this world. See, our allegiance is not to this world. And it's not to anything, any government, or any person in this world. Our allegiance belongs to Christ and Him alone. And so if we are in Christ, guess what that means? That means we're in Christ's body. If we're a part of something, then we're a part of it. And if you're a part of it, it doesn't mean if you have your thumb and you chop it off, with a saw, on accident or something, and you say, well, put it in some formaldehyde dock and let me put it in a jar. That thumb, it's not part of you anymore, is it? Why? it's not attached. And if we're going to be in Christ, that means we have to be attached to Him and His body, which is the church. I want us to see, and I hope, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here this morning, church membership is not optional for the child of God. And I think that God does give us freedom to choose what church we worship in, and I'm thankful that you've chosen this one. I think God has brought every single person that's a part of our church to our church and for a purpose. And God has given them gifts, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. So yet we are free to choose what church to belong to, what local church, but we are not free to choose whether we belong to a church or not. Why is that? So the local church is the expression of God to this world. There's always been something in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and even after the Bible, in early church history, there's always been something about God's people gathering together. Can you worship God and pray by yourself? Absolutely. And you should. Because your individual prayers and your individual worship through the week helps feed our corporate worship together on Sundays. But there is something that happens that's, you can't really explain it. There's not a formula that figures it out. But there's something that happens when God's people come together. God expects His people to come together. There was a book written, and it became a popular thing on Facebook, that I love Jesus, but I hate the church. Well, that really is quite an impossibility. There is no perfect church on this world. The moment any of us step into this church, it stops being perfect. It does pretty good left to its own. But once we step into it, it stops being perfect. There's no perfect church because the church is made up of imperfect people. But we have to remember, yeah, we are imperfect, but we're on a journey to being made perfect. We'll be made perfect one day when we stand before the Lord Almighty, redeemed in heaven for all eternity. And that's why Paul said we are not made for this world. We're made for a spiritual world. Our bodies are here for a little while. Eventually, death will call for every one of us. And yet the reality is that life continues for eternity. In other words, it doesn't ever stop. We don't ever stop. Our bodies might, our lungs do, but we don't. Why? Because we're children of God. And we'll spend eternity with Him. So being in Christ is being a part of Christ's body, which is the church. Well, now that we've gotten that cleared up, I want us to see that, you know what? The second point this morning is that we need the church. You need the church. You may think you don't. And there's plenty of folks out there in this world that, I've heard a lot of times people say, "Preacher, I know I need to be at church. I know I need to be a part of a good church." And, but I just, and they give off some excuse. The one I probably hear most is, "Well, Sunday's the only day I have to do stuff at home." And, I went, now, we have time for what we want to have time for. But Paul talks about us needing the church and being a part of one another. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15, it says that Paul says this: if a foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not a body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? What a great illustration. Paul loves to use the analogy of the church as a body. And our body has many different parts. And every part is important. And God put it there for a reason. Even if we don't understand our gallbladder appendix, or appendix, I think, doctors wonder what on earth it's there for. Doesn't really seem to have a purpose. But it must, because God created, God put it there. He put it there for a reason. Us not understanding why it's there doesn't alter or change that fact. But would we want our bodies to all be all appendix? I don't think so. Paul raises the great point. Because a foot is not a hand, is it not part of the body? No. Now, our foot and our hands do vastly different things. And you can live without a hand, and you can live without a foot. But you know what? You can't live as efficiently and as effectively as God created you to without a hand or a foot. It's a whole lot easier to get around on two legs and two feet than it is on one. And so, that's a great analogy and a great reminder that we need one another, because we're each an individual part of the body of Christ, and each member is important. So we need one another. Why do we need one? Because, listen, there's times when we're weak, when we're stumbling, when we're downtrodden. And we need our brothers and sisters in Christ to sometimes kick us in the rear, sometimes to put their arm around us and give us a hug, sometimes to speak an encouraging word to us, sometimes to speak a challenging word. We need sometimes to be said, "Hey, numbskull, what do you think you're doing?" Left to our own devices, we will deceive ourselves. We're, as human beings, we're great at being deceitful. And the easiest person to fool is ourselves. And yet, you know, because we're a lot softer and a lot easier on ourselves than we are on other people. We oftentimes criticize others for doing something, but it turned out we've done the exact same thing. Jesus said, "Hey, listen, you know what? You worry about the speck that's in your brother's eye. You don't see the 2x4 that's hanging out of your head." So Jesus reminded and said, listen, you need the church. You need the church for support, for encouragement, for discipleship. If it was up to any of them, it doesn't matter how smart you are. You can't figure things out all the time by yourself. You don't know everything. And you can't figure everything out by yourself. You need others. Well, it's hard for us, especially men, to recognize our need for others. Perhaps it's pride that comes as part of us from the fall. We don't like admitting we need help, and we don't like admitting that we're wrong. But friend, every one of us has times when we're wrong. Every one of us has times when we need help. And there's no shame in admitting that. But there is shame when we know it, but we don't do anything about it. Well, the thing is, as part of the body of Christ, we have people that can support, that'll support us and love us. That we don't have to go through things alone. And when we do, it's not because we have to, it's because we've chosen to. Christ is always there with us. The Bible says He's closer than a brother. He never leaves us and He never forsakes us. But also, God has given us, brothers and sisters in the Lord, part of the body of Christ. And we need that. And we need to be thankful for that. Christian brother, fellow pastor in Oklahoma that just about every Sunday will send me a message on Facebook. He says, I'm praying for you. And I'm praying for First Real Baptist Church in Pearl. I'm praying for the community of Pearl. You know what? We need that. We need, you know, I think of our missionaries in France, especially here lately as we've been focusing and praying for them significantly. Please continue to do that. That, you know, they're thousands of miles away from home in a land that God called them to. And, you know, much different than the land they grew up in. And they're facing battles. How encouraging it is to them to know there's people in Pearl, Mississippi, and Nashville, Tennessee, and Tokyo, all around the world, praying for them. And the truth of the matter is, there's times in our life, we may not need prayer today, or at least think we need prayer today. We all do need prayer all the time. But there's especially significant time when we really, really need prayer. And we all know that there's something to the fact of knowing that people are praying for us. And knowing that, you know what, God does have an answer and things will work out. Now, they don't always work out like we pray, and they don't always work out like we think they should. But God is always God, and God is always with us. We need the church because there will be times of turmoil. There will be times of temptation. There will be times of discouragement in our life. And left to our own devices, those times won't get any better and they won't go away. Now, they may never go away, but they can get easier and lighter when we have other people walking beside us, knowing that we are not alone. And so, friend, you need to know and understand that you need the church. And lastly this morning, I want to tell you that not only do you need the church needs you. The church needs us. Why? Again, I call us back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul, all throughout this chapter, tells us that we all have a part to play. That we're all part of one another. And he concludes in verse 27 of chapter 12. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, prophets, third teachers, and after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gift of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, that I will show you a more excellent way. And then he shows us what that excellent way is in chapter 13. Remember, the chapter and verses were not in Paul's original writing when he wrote this letter. He didn't, you know, put these numbers. It was several centuries later that some scholars put that in to help us be able to find verses and in Scripture to make our listening to sermons and reading the Bible for ourselves much easier. But chapter 13, verse 1, really is a continuation of Paul's thoughts in chapter 12. He says, I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but have not love. I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And so Paul is reminding us that, listen, the church needs you because you have spiritual gifts that the church needs. Now, we would be in trouble if God had called all of us with just one gift. God has given us all different natural abilities and gifts and talents. He's given every child of God unique spiritual gifts. Why? Paul tells us in his letters that the purpose of spiritual gifts is to build the body of Christ, so that the body of Christ might be complete. And so the church needs you. The church needs us to be, not only use our spiritual gifts, but to be a representative of God to a lost and dying world. We know, because we found it for ourselves, that the gospel changes lives because it's changed ours. And it continues to do that. But the reality is, if the gospel can change my life and it can change your life, it can change anyone's life. And that's what the message of the gospel, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter the wrong that you've done or how far you think you've wandered away from God, if you will turn to Him, He will receive you, He will save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, Paul asked this question in Romans, can people be saved unless there's people that proclaim the Scriptures? How can they proclaim the Scriptures unless they've been called to do that? And how can they be called to, unless they've been taught to do that? So there's this dependent relationship between the members of the church and the church itself. Both need the other. The church needs God's people gathering together to be the church. If everybody that attended this church and was a part of this church has decided to stop coming, what would happen? Well, this church would not be here anymore. And sadly, there's thousands of churches every year in America that close their doors. For one reason or another, but it comes down to people have just quit coming. So there is a sense that we need coming just so that we continue to exist. We need us to continue to come so that the church is financially supported, that the bill, you know, we're thankful we've got a beautiful sanctuary to come to, and it's warm in here. It's cold outside. We're thankful for heat today, aren't we? I know I am. But heat ain't free. Energy sends us a piece of paper every month. Says, hey, Miss Kay, we want some dollars from the church for the heat that we've given this winter and the air conditioning in the summer. So the church needs you, but not just for financial reasons. The church needs you because you have gifts that the church will not have without you. God does not call any child of God to do everything in the church, though sometimes we wear ourselves out trying. But God gives every one of us gifts so that the church's work can be completed. We need one another. We need the church. And the church needs us. The church needs us to be Christ's hands and feet to this lost and dying world. They're not going to get it on Fox News or C-SPAN or PBS or from Capitol Hill. Where are people going to find the message of the gospel? By the church being the church and sharing God's love and telling them about the gospel and showing them the gospel so that their life might be changed and inviting them to come to receive the gospel. Every one of us came to faith in Christ, maybe not at a church. You can be saved in other places, but every one of us was saved because of a local church. Whether a pastor or deacon or church member or Sunday school teacher or grandma or grandpa or uncle, somebody that was a part of a local church and was being discipled, and part of that expression of discipleship is church involvement, church membership, and church ministry, came and told you, hey, listen, you're a sinner and you deserve to spend eternity in hell. But God loves you so much that He paid that penalty so you could have life instead of death. And if you'll receive that gift, God will come in. He'll change you. He'll make you one of His. That's the essence of the gospel. It's not hard to understand. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. It's clear as day. And people in this world need to hear it. Why? Because the end is drawing near. And as long as we have breath and as long as Jesus has not come back for us yet, there's opportunity to tell others, hey, you can come to Jesus. And they can find hope and new life that comes only from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But the day will come when it will be too late. The Bible says, the book of Revelation, that the day will come when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But the problem is, far too many people come to that realization too late. Because you see, if the first time you make that realization is when you're standing before Him in a day of judgment, it's too late. But if you've realized it before then, no matter if you're 2 or 20 or 100, when you met Jesus Christ, your Savior, He makes you part of Himself, part of His body. And if you're going to be part of Christ, that means you, by extension, are part of His church. In a great book called Church Membership, it's just a thin little book, Jonathan Lehman said this. He said, church membership, in other words, is about the church taking specific responsibility for you and you for the church. That's what church membership means. The church needs you and you need the church. And don't forget it. And don't forget to show it.
So again, let's recap the images of discipleship. Our Bible Christians read God's Word. They pray. They surrender to God's will. And they're involved in the local body of believers, the local church. And so as we see these images, we say, you know what? These pictures help us and remind us, how do we live a life that honors and pleases God? But we live in Him. And when we live in Him and we walk in Him, we're reading God's Word. We're praying. We're surrendering to Him. And we're a part of His church. We're a part of His body. We're not a cut-off thumb that's in a jar of formaldehyde somewhere. We're attached. And not only are we attached, but we're active. So God will help us to remember these important truths. Let's stand together this morning. We'll be dismissed for Sunday school. Brother George, would you dismiss us, please, this morning?